From 1956 until 1978, one popular game show ran consistently. In fact, it was so popular that in the years since then, it has been brought back a number of times, most recently, even in 2018. That game show was called To Tell the Truth. How many of you have heard of it? Maybe even saw it way back when. It featured a panel of four celebrity guests, and they were responsible for trying to determine out which of three contestants was telling the truth, because they would all claim fame to something, either claim that they were a particular person or claim that they were one who had done something amazing. And the responsibility of the contestants was to fool the panelists, make them think that they were really who they claimed to be and had done what they really claimed to do. And if they were really successful at it, they could fool the panelists and they would pick somebody else. And nobody would determine who was the real one. And it would happen over and over and over again. It was an amazing thing to watch. Some of you maybe have happened to see it. You know, true or false for us is sometimes difficult to discern, especially if the line with just enough element of truth or fact to it that it seems to be believable, and we can easily be deceived. Something masquerades as truth, and it plays on our vulnerabilities, because we're either untrained or unexperienced or maybe even just a little careless, and we're deceived by the lie. We've all had it happen to us in some way or another. Can I tell you, it happens in the church too. It happens in the realm of faith. So often there is something presented to us that masquerades as the truth, but it is false. It is a lie. And it's a danger that we need to be aware of, because we can easily be taken in by something that sounds like it's good, like something that sounds like it's believable, but it's not. And if we follow what it presents to us, it can lead us down a path that ultimately leads to danger and destruction. I invite you, if you will, to turn with me to the book of 2 Peter this morning. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to be reading the first few verses of the chapter and then skip down a little bit and read a little bit later in the chapter. Peter writes to us about this. And as we're reading this, let's remember who Peter was. Peter was one of the apostles, one of the original disciples of Jesus. He heard everything that Jesus taught, saw everything that Jesus did, and was called and commissioned by God to be one of those who would go out and then to begin to transmit that gospel message to people who'd never heard it before, faithfully declaring the truth that alone can save men's lives. But Peter realized that he was not ministering in a vacuum. There were a lot of other things that were being poured into people's lives, even others who started proclaiming things that they claimed to be from God. They claimed to be the truth, and they were false. And so he wanted to warn them in his day and warn us today of this danger. Look with me at what Peter writes. But there were also, notice past tense, there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. There were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Notice that Peter is calling out those who are doing this. They're telling you things that are made up. They come from the mind or the heart of man, not from the mind and the heart of God. And they're exploiting the vulnerabilities of those who listen to them. They themselves are walking a path that leads to destruction, but by their teaching and by their guidance, they're encouraging others to follow them down that same path. It's a dangerous thing. Skip down a little bit later in the chapter. Peter, in between, starts talking about some examples from the Scripture, how God did not tolerate those who denied or rejected the truth and engaged in something false. God brought judgment upon them. And he says, if God judged them for what they did, how much more so will he continue to judge us for what we do? Verse 17, he said this, these men, these false teachers, are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the human nature. Oh, notice, they appeal to the lustful desires of the human nature. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They prey especially on those who are just beginning a walk of faith, are just learning what it means to walk with Jesus. Can I tell you one of the greatest vulnerabilities we have is spiritual immaturity. If we're not growing in our walk with the Lord, we'll talk more about this in a moment. If we're still young in our faith, we may have been professing to be a Christian for many years, but we've never really matured. And we're vulnerable. And they prey upon this. He goes on to say, they promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves to depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. It doesn't change them. It only makes them worse. Now, Peter was not just trying to fill up words on the page. He wasn't trying to just make sure his letter was long enough and had enough content that it would sound like it was good. It's not like us. You know, maybe when you were in high school or when you were in college, you had to write an essay or answer an essay question, and they told you it had to be a certain length, you know, so many paragraphs, so many pages. So you start thinking of things just to fill up the pages to make sure that it at least meets the qualification for length. And you ramble on. Peter wasn't doing that, excuse me. Peter was trying to declare something that was truth. He inserted it and included it because it was vitally important. He knew the danger the church was facing even in his day. And he warned us that it would happen in our day too. And can I tell you, I believe that it is happening. It is rampant among us to this day. There are countless people who sit in places similar to ours, hearing something that is presented as the gospel, but it may not all be true. There are books, there are magazine articles, there are conferences and teachings that go out all across the land professing something that is of Christ. But when you listen intently to what is being communicated, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't sound quite right. It doesn't fit the pattern taught to us in the Scripture. And we need to be aware of it. False teaching is now doing more to change the church than the church is doing to change the world. False teaching is corrupting the minds of believers and leading them down a path that leads them into the ways of the world. I hear and read so many tragic stories about people who are facing pressure from the world to adopt the world's ways, and they bow to the pressure, accept the world's teaching, accept the world's ways, and they're taught by those who profess to be speakers of the truth that this is the right thing to do, that it's the godly thing to do. We need to be aware of it. In the battle to discern what is right and what is true, we need to be aware of the fact that we face a very real and present danger. That's what Peter tells us. False teaching is a clear and present danger. You and I need to take precautions to guard our hearts and to guard our minds against false teachings of those who profess to be speaking the truth but are actually speaking lies. Paul says, He says, there were also false prophets among the people. But it's not just a thing of the past. He says, just as there will be false teachers among you. It continues to go on. Peter's focus is on identifying the reality of this danger and enabling us to identify those who are preachers and teachers of false things. He makes it clear that he's issuing a warning to us. There is falsehood out there, and we need to be aware of it. I've lived long enough, and so have most of you in this room, that you've noticed that our currency has changed a lot over the years. Have you noticed that? They keep changing our currency, especially the we call them paper. They're not really paper bills. They're actually a form of linen. But they keep putting new measures on them to protect against counterfeiting. Because counterfeiters have gotten so good at mimicking the appearance of that money that it can deceive people. And we've had to keep constantly coming up with new measures, new ways to verify the authenticity of the money. And so they've got things woven into the fibers of the paper that is printed on. or special marks that are made on it that have to be picked up and determined. And they've changed it so much over time that I had a recent experience at the bank where my wife had gone. We've got several bank accounts in different banks, a couple different savings accounts, one checking account. And my wife had gone to one of the banks to take some money out of one of our savings accounts that we needed to deposit into our checking account because we needed to pay for something. And we were going to use some of that money. So she goes to the one bank, gets the cash out of that bank from that account, has me take it to the bank to put in the checking account. And we don't have live tellers at our bank anymore. We've got these video kiosks. Our actual teller is in Jacksonville or someplace. We see them on the screen and we talk to them, but they're not actually physically present with us. And the machine is kind of like an ATM machine. So I punch the button, the face comes up, they ask me what I want to do. I say, well, I've got some cash here. I need to deposit it into my checking account. She goes, okay, where you see the flashing light, go ahead and insert the cash into the machine. So the door opens, I put the machine in, and it's, that's the sound effect, okay? It's counting the money, and all of a sudden it spits one of the bills back out. And she goes, well, maybe it was wrinkled or something. Straighten it out a little bit, try putting it back in again. So I straighten it out. It was a $100 bill, by the way. So I straighten it out. And I put it back in again, and it spits it back out. It happened about 3 or 4 times. It wouldn't accept the bill. And finally, the teller realizes what's going on. That particular $100 bill was printed in around 1982 or 1985. Security measures had changed. It was an authentic bill, but the security measures had changed so much that the modern technology in the machine was looking for the most current security measures, and they weren't present on that bill, and it rejected it. Said that it wasn't true. It wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. And I had to take it to somebody else where there was a live person and they could verify that it truly was a valid. I said, I know it's good. I got it from a bank. But it couldn't be trusted. Can I tell you? We can so easily be taken in by something that looks good. And we need some security measures. We need some things to help us verify that what is presented to us is the truth. If we're not, we're going to be vulnerable. We're all vulnerable to deception and falsehood. Maybe you've gotten scam phone calls that you thought were legitimate. Scam emails that fooled you into something. Can I tell you, if somebody's all of a sudden telling you that you have a long-lost relative in Nigeria that's offering you $1 million if you'll just put $10,000 in the bank to secure it, don't trust it, okay? It's a lie. It's a lie. We get these warnings all the time. We're so easily taken in. And these things have their root in our enemy, Satan. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Satan is a liar, and he plays on our vulnerability. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 8, verse 44. Speaking about Satan, he said, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language, because he is a liar and the father of lies. John wrote this in John chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now, John's not telling us that's the only way, but that's one key way. That's one key way that helped identify those who were teaching false things in John's day, because they would try to present that Jesus didn't really come from God or that he wasn't really divine. He said, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world, and even now is already in the world. Dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. This is true of false teachers. They are from the world and they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. I don't want to be them, do you? I don't want to be one of those of the world who listens to them. He says, we are from God. Here's the key. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It's in, excuse me, it's in knowing God. knowing God. And the more you know the real thing, the more you know, and you can identify when something false is being presented to you. Here's the warning God's Word gives to you and I. We don't need to be a sponge soaking up everything we hear. We need to be more like a filter. We filter everything through something reliable to verify if it's true or not. Just like that machine was filtering my money through to verify if it was true or not. It's looking for the identification. It's looking for the mark. So we examine everything. We give careful thought to everything we hear, no matter who it is that we're listening to. I trust and I hope that as you're listening to me, you're giving careful thought to what I'm saying, to verify that what I'm saying is true. I don't discourage you from doing that. In fact, I encourage it. Look in the Word. Back it up with the Scripture. See if it's true or not. See if that's what's actually being presented. And we need to do that constantly. So many people are just eager to hear something that sounds good and sounds pleasing and sounds encouraging and sounds joyful. They'll listen to anything that has that tone. But it may not be the truth. And can I tell you, if it doesn't sound like Jesus, it's not worth listening to. It's not worth hearing. If it contradicts the Scripture in some way, be very skeptical. Can I tell you, God's Word has never changed. God's standard has never changed. God's expectation of man has never changed. We say, well, the world changes. Well, the world changes, but God doesn't. God's plan hasn't changed. What He calls us to has never changed. And we need to make sure that we're following the path that takes us toward God, not away from Him. So if it contradicts Scripture, listen to it. And if it sounds like something you really want to hear, it may be. But you better stop and listen and make sure that it really is coming from God, not just your heart that wants to hear that. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit to guard you or to check you or to give you a pause. You know, there have been times that I've listened to somebody preach or teach on television or at a conference, and everything they said, I couldn't find anything that specifically I could identify that was wrong in anything they said. It all sounded good, at least from the surface of everything I could hear. But there was something in me that just didn't feel, something's not right. It all sounds right. I can't fault anything that they presented as contrary to the Bible, but just something doesn't sound right. Maybe that's because sometimes people will tell the truth enough to gain credibility. But the more you get to know them, and the more you dig deeper, and the more you listen to what they have to say, and the more they begin to pour into your life, you start realizing they're starting to take me down a path that's contrary to the truth. And it just might be that the Holy Spirit is checking you, saying, yeah, that sounds good, but be careful. But be cautious. Because it may not be. Maybe it's just their motives that are wrong. They're not really there to present the truth. They're just there because they got paid. Or because they said what they thought people who were there wanted to hear. So they fed them what they thought they would receive or what they would accept. You know, the Bible gives us some pretty good examples for how we ought to approach this. The book of Acts gives us a pretty good picture of the things that were happening as the gospel began to go out and spread through the apostles, and in particular Paul. When you get to Acts chapter 17, you realize that Paul and Silas have been out preaching Jesus in a lot of towns among the Gentiles. Some were accepting, or at least partially accepting. Some didn't want anything to do with what Paul was teaching, would run him out of town, threaten his life. He ran into problems when he tried to speak to the people of Thessalonica. They weren't real eager to hear what Paul had to say. It didn't match what they wanted to hear. Then he goes to a town called Berea and preaches the gospel there. And listen to what it says about the people in Berea. They received, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. They received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They confirmed it in the Scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. Examine it. Give careful thought to it. Because it's so easy to be taken in by falsehood. It's a clear and present danger. Secondly, you need to recognize this. The reason that false teaching works and draws so many people away is because some people have this misperception of the nature of genuine truth. Truth isn't truth because you believe it to be true. Truth is truth, period, outside of you. It is simply true, whether you believe it or not. But you hear people say, well, that might be true for you, but it's not true for me. That means you're making truth subjective. It's what I accept as true is true. And my truth is good for me, and your truth is good for you, and both are truth. It's just that your truth isn't my truth, and my truth isn't your truth. They can't both be true. See, the reality is that false teaching plays on the idea that somehow truth is subjective, but it's not. False teaching ignores the fact that truth is objective, not subjective. It comes from outside of us, from an authoritative source. God is true, and everything that He says is true. And He is the one who authorizes and gives authority to everything that is declared in His name. Notice what Peter said. You have these false teachers, he said, that will exploit you with stories they have made up, stories that man have invented. He says that they play on the lustful, sinful human nature. They tell us what we want to hear, what we wish were true. You know, my doctor tells me I have a little bit of a heart valve problem. And I wish I could go to the doctor and say, well, I feel fine. I don't feel that there's any issue. I feel pretty good. Doctor says I have a problem with cholesterol, so he gives me No, I don't feel like there's anything wrong with my cholesterol. I don't need to take that medicine. I don't want to take that medicine. I had an argument with, not really an argument, but a little bit of a discussion with my doctor about that, because I really didn't want to take the medicine for my cholesterol. I just don't like taking the stuff. I feel like it's affecting me in ways I don't like. He says, no, you got to take it. Well, I can deny this diagnosis, but that doesn't make it go away. That doesn't mean that it's not true, because it's outside of me. I don't get to decide if it's true or not. And can I tell you, when God says something's true, it's true. And when God says something is false, it's false, whether I believe it or accept it or not. We're not talking about minor disagreements about some point of doctrine or practice in the church that's based on some interpretation of Scripture that maybe in an area where the Scripture is just a little vague and it can be taken more than one way. We're not talking about minor disagreements like things like whether or not you should baptize infants or whether or not women should be involved in the ministry. Some churches say, yes, we have people in ministry in the Wesleyan Church. Others say, no, women should not be ordained to the ministry. We're not talking about whether or not it's right or good to speak in tongues. And others say, no, you shouldn't speak in tongues. I can say this. Every time I speak, I use my tongue. I don't really understand what the problem is. But anyway, people get in disputes about these things. I won't go there. I had another one that just came to my mind, but I'm going to skip it for now. We're not talking about minor disputes over points of disagreement. We're talking about attempts to distort, twist, or change the truth into something else and take us down another path. There are people who want to change what God identifies as sin. We've talked about this before. And say, oh, it's not a sin. It's just a lifestyle choice. And it really doesn't matter. But God's word says that it's a sin. And sin brings condemnation. We're talking about people who want to twist and distort the truth of God and make a way for somebody to follow a path that is away from the right, away from what God has said. False teachers play on two things that make them become effective, that makes their subjective teaching sound good to us. And the first one is this: they play on our ignorance. We just may not know the truth, may not have been exposed to the truth. That's why Peter talks about the fact that some people who are young in their faith are especially vulnerable, because they haven't learned enough yet. They haven't grown enough yet. Can I tell you, it troubles me. It troubles me when I encounter somebody who maybe professes to have known Jesus for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. But when you listen to them speak, you go, I don't understand why they don't have a grasp of some of the basic things that we ought to know as believers. They haven't learned it yet. They haven't matured in their faith. It's like they never graduated from kindergarten or first grade in the spiritual school and have never gone on. We're encouraged time and time again in the Scripture to go on to maturity, to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And false teaching plays on those who haven't learned, who don't know, haven't been exposed to the truth. And so it sounds good to them. And sometimes when we're so eager, we're young in the faith, we really get excited about this thing about walking with Jesus. We want to hear everything and learn everything. We just take it all in. Now, it's good that we're that eager, but it's bad if what we're taking in is not true. Because then it marks a stamp on our life that's very hard to shake off later on. So false teaching plays on this ignorance. The second thing that it plays on is, as Peter tells us, the sinful human desires. We want something to be true. We wish that it were true. We hope that it is true. And somebody says something that confirms what we want to be true. Yes, that's good. I'll accept that because it's what I want to be true. What we choose to believe as truth may not be true. What somebody presents as truth may be a lie. Real truth is true whether we believe it or not. Can I tell you, we all live with certain truths that we cannot escape. There are certain forces at work that we cannot deny their existence and their reality. One of them is the force of gravity. We cannot escape the force of gravity. You know, there was a song that was out there, popular music, a number of years ago. Maybe you remember it. It says, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. So I could go up on a mountaintop somewhere over a steep cliff, and I see a beautiful valley below, and I say, you know what? I'm watching the birds soar over that valley. They know that gravity isn't real. I can just float off this mountain and fly. So I'm just going to take a leap and jump because gravity isn't real. So take a jump. Take a leap. Guess what you'll find out? I didn't believe it was real, but it's real whether I believe it or not. And down I go. Down I go. Truth is true whether we believe it or not. And there are consequences if we fail to receive the truth and buy into the lie. It doesn't require your approval or your acceptance for it to be true. It is true whether you believe it or not. Your responsibility is to accept the truth. And your responsibility is to be aware of the risk of falsehood and identify it. See, false teaching is tailored to play on our vulnerabilities and exploits us. And often it's done just to enrich the one who's the teacher, because they got paid for teaching what people wanted to hear, what would draw a crowd, or what seemed popular. They sold a lot of books. They made it on television shows and interviews. Or it gave them a sense of power and prestige. Fame came their way because of what they were teaching. You and I need to be aware of the vulnerability we have, and none of us have escaped it. All of us are human. We have to realize how vulnerable we are and be very careful. We need to desire to hear the things from God's word, not just the things that confirm what we want to be true. We need to make sure that we're not shunning those things that sometimes challenge us. Because sometimes the truth about God's call and God's plan for our life is difficult to hear. It's not necessarily what we want to hear sometimes. I mean, I don't like it when God tells me, you messed up. You did wrong. I don't like it when God tells me, you need to go to that person and say, I apologize. Oh, I don't like that. We don't like that feeling, do we? But sometimes truth hurts. We don't need to just go parading around looking for something that will tell us just what makes us feel good and shunning the things that God wants to teach us. And beware of truth that claims to be the exclusive source of truth. Can I tell you, none of us really have it all figured out. We've got a lot to learn. To the best of our understanding, this, as much as God has enabled us to understand, is true. But I need to make sure that I at least grasp and hang on to those things that really matter most in my walk with the Lord. Not miss something important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this. Now I'm confusing Paul with Peter. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And let me back that up. I think when Paul was writing this to Timothy, he might have been looking ahead to our day and said there might be a day coming when, change that word to sound, change that word sound to say orthodox, traditional, centuries old doctrine. Sometimes we feel like, well, times are changing, so the doctrine ought to change. No, the doctrine's true. He said, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. You know, part of the problem with false teachers is not just the false teachers, is the fact that we accept them. That we listen, that we gather around them and listen to them. Peter tells us that these false teachers are there and they exploit us. And we need to be aware of the fact that there is a truth, an objective truth that comes from God. And that's what we need to be seeking. That's what we need to be clamoring after. And not allow truth to be subjective just because it's what I want to hear or what I want to believe. And thirdly, we need to realize that this is so important because of the danger. Peter tells us these false teachers are bringing condemnation upon themselves. Blackest darkness, he said, is reserved for them. They play on those who are just coming out of a life of sin in this world and coming to know Christ. And now they're following this false teaching that is taking them right back into the world that they came out of, into ways contrary to the ways of God, to their harm and their destruction. He says that if we give in to false teaching and begin to model it in practice in our lives, we are bringing the way of truth into disrepute. In other words, we're saying that what has been presented as truth to the world around us, we say, that's false. This is what's true. We cast doubt on what is really true. We discredit what is really true and lift up that which is false, making it harder for people to even hear and to accept the truth. He says that it appeals to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, promising freedom, while it actually leads us down a path to depravity. And he says we're worse off at the end than we were at the beginning. Dangerous and destructive. False teaching is so attractive to many. False teaching is attractive to those who are teaching it because it gives them fame or popularity, wealth, whatever it may be, power, notoriety. False teaching is attractive to its hearers because it seems to be what they want to hear, what seems agreeable to them. But false teaching always is destructive. I read an interesting story. I love history. And this one came up in something that was published several years ago in Today in the Word. And it said this. Here's the way the story goes. In late September 1864, Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest was leading his troops north from Decatur, Alabama, toward Nashville, Tennessee. But to make it to Nashville, Forrest would have to defeat the Union Army at Athens, Alabama. When the Union commander, Colonel Wallace Campbell, refused to surrender, Forrest asked for a personal meeting with Campbell. And he invited Campbell to come to his camp, and he took Campbell with him on an inspection tour of his Confederate troops. He wanted to show Campbell, you can't defeat me. You can't stop my advance. You need to just go ahead and surrender. It'll be less costly to you if you just surrender now than if we go to combat. I can outnumber you. I can overpower you. That's what he was trying to convince Campbell of. So here's how he did it. He took Campbell on a tour of various encampments of his army. But each time they left a detachment that they had been visiting, the Confederate soldiers packed everything up, including their artillery, and moved to another location and set up camp there quickly. And Forrest would take Campbell over there and see this camp. Oh, look at all these soldiers here. And he'd pack up, and they did it several times. He convinced Campbell that he had a vast army in various encampments. It was actually the same troops he was looking at over and over again. I'm pretty sure he made sure that not the same ones were up front. You know, don't all show your faces at the same time. Put the artillery in different positions. Splash a little mud on it now and then. Clean it up in the next camp. Something like that. It was successful. Forrest and Campbell would then arrive at the new encampment and continue to tally up an impressive number of Confederate soldiers and weaponry. By the time they'd returned to the fort, Campbell was convinced he couldn't win, and he surrendered unconditionally. He gave in. He bought into the lie. And it led to his defeat. He surrendered. Didn't need to, but he did. Just enough truth to be convincing, but a lie nonetheless. And it led to defeat, not victory. Giving in to false teaching is not the way to bring you into God's plan for your life. It's not the way to bring you into God's plan for your holiness and your perfection. And it certainly won't bring you into his eternal kingdom. Be aware of the danger of false teaching. When you buy into that false teaching, you are surrendering your soul to a lie of the enemy. Now, that doesn't mean that just because somebody draws big crowds that they're a false teacher. I've been in some places where some great teachers, godly men who proclaimed the truth, drew large crowds. Jesus drew pretty large crowds from time to time. People wanted to hear what he had to say, and they would gather around. Being a large crowd doesn't mean that they're a false teacher. And just because they sell a lot of books or do a lot of interviews, write magazine articles, make public appearances, doesn't mean that they're false. They might be true. But there's some among us who are using fame and popularity and drawing crowds for reasons other than presenting the gospel. Jesus went around teaching people about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus went around seeking to save those who were lost. His mission wasn't about drawing a crowd. His mission wasn't about just becoming famous or becoming popular or just getting people to listen to him. His concern was saving those who were lost. And sometimes those who are doing false teaching, that's not really their ambition. It's all about building their own kingdom, not building Christ. It's not about leading people into salvation. It's about leading people down a path that will make sure that crowds continue to come and money keeps pouring in and fame keeps coming, keeps happening. So we need to be aware of the dangers. And ultimately, those who follow them follow a way that leads to destruction. Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. He said, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Do you hear what Paul was praying for the people at Philippi? "I am praying that you'll grow in your understanding and that you will gain discernment so that you can follow the way that is good and the way of righteousness." Jesus promised us in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit would come to abide in our hearts. And this is one of the things he said the Holy Spirit does. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Here's the secret to us making sure we avoid the destruction that comes from false teaching. Number one, it's growing in the knowledge of Jesus. Spend time getting to know him. Knowing the way he taught, the way he thought, the things that he preached. You know, it's interesting because the Bible has given to us four Gospels that record the life and the ministry of Jesus and much of what he taught. Tells the story of the disciples who followed him everywhere he went, following the rabbi. Why? They weren't just following him because they didn't have anything better to do. They were following him because to follow the rabbi meant, I want to learn from the rabbi. I want to learn everything the rabbi knows. I want to understand everything the rabbi teaches. They went where the rabbi went. They ate what the rabbi ate. They slept where the rabbi slept. And the goal was that the rabbi was teaching them to be just like him so that when he was gone, they would become the rabbi. They would become the example, leading someone else. So they were following the rabbi so that they could become just like the rabbi. Can I tell you, we can still follow the rabbi. We've got four Gospels that record us everywhere Jesus went and everything that he taught and all the miracles that he did. Study the life of Jesus and the things that he said and the things that he taught. Allow him to instruct you and teach you. Consult his word for guidance. We need to make sure that we spend a lot of time getting to know Jesus, growing in our knowledge and our understanding of him so that we become like him. Can I tell you, there's no better teacher for your life than this book. There's no better guide for your life than this book. Spend time in it. Spend time in it. Some people say, well, I just don't like to read, or I'm not a good reader. That's okay. Can I tell you, modern technology has made it, you can get the Bible in audio form. You can listen to somebody read it to you. But spend time in this book. Getting to know Jesus through Christ. We're given discernment to recognize something false when it comes. You know one of the oldest ways that they used to teach bank tellers to identify counterfeit money? They just had them spend hours and hours holding the real thing, feeling it with their fingers and running it through their hands, because there was a certain feel, a certain texture to the real thing that counterfeiters couldn't imitate back then. And so as soon as they took the money and held it in their hands, they go, this doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. They got familiar enough with the real thing that they became suspicious of something that didn't feel just right. You get to know Jesus well enough. You get to know the truth that's recorded in His Word well enough. There'll be times that you're going to start hearing something. You go, that just doesn't feel quite right to me. I can't put my finger on it, but it just doesn't feel quite right. We need discernment. And the second thing is what Jesus promised us, John 16. He gives us His Holy Spirit to abide in our heart, and He is the Spirit of truth. And He says, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. You need a life and a heart that's full of the presence of God's Spirit. Making way for God's Spirit to come into your life, to fill your life, to fill your heart, to teach you, to instruct you, to guide you. Sometimes when you're listening to something, you might just sense something telling you, I'm just not sure if that's quite right. It might just very well be the Holy Spirit saying, wait a minute, be careful here, this isn't quite right. He'll guide you into all truth. Listen to God's Spirit when it teaches. Your defense against false teaching is the awareness and the discernment that comes with your knowledge of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, no one comes to the Father except by Him. So I want to know the way of truth so that I'm not taken in by the lie and by the falsehood. So come to know Him through a study of the Word, through the guidance of His Spirit, and through obedience to everything that He's commanded you. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by false teaching so that you surrender your eternal fate to something that takes you into the hands of the enemy and ultimately brings condemnation. False teaching never leads to anything good. It always leads to something destructive. So we need to be careful of it. We live in a dangerous world. Not just from some of the things that happen that bring violence and unrest and division and all those things. We live in a dangerous world spiritually. And I believe that in the modern day, in the modern time, with the explosion of communication technology and media, there is more false teaching out there than ever before. And it's deceiving a lot of people. Be warned. Seek the truth. Seek Jesus. Come to know Him. Check everything like the Bereans did to see if what is being taught really conforms to what is taught in this book. And if it's not, it's suspicious. Spend time drawing closer and closer to Jesus, learning His heart and His mind. Allow for His Spirit to fill your heart and life so that He guides you and teaches you. Don't be afraid to pray, Lord, give me discernment. Give me guidance. Help me to know what's right. Help me to realize that sometimes what I hear might be what I want to hear, but it's not what You want to say. Help me to hear what You want to say to me. And help me to be obedient to You. Be aware of the danger of false teaching. And not just for yourself. You need to be aware of the danger of false teaching for those around you. Because can I tell you, you have friends, neighbors, co-workers, maybe people you haven't even met yet. They've been taken in by some of the false teaching. Somebody needs to point to them the truth. Somebody needs to point them to what is right. Don't allow them to continue to be engaged in following that path that's leading to destruction. Expose the false teaching to them. Show them how it's not true. Show them what God's Word really has to say. Model it in your own life. May they see the presence and the power and the reality of what Christ does in our hearts and lives as we walk with Him and walk obediently to Him, so that it will draw them to Jesus and away from that which is false. Be concerned about those around you who are hearing false teaching, and do everything you can to not only know the truth yourself, but point others toward it. For it's all around us, and we need to be aware of it.